Lahaina is one of Hawaii's big little towns, small in population but looming large in its history. It was a whaling center in the days when whaling dominated the island economy and was once the capital of the Hawaiian kingdom. When sugar took over, it became a plantation town. Author Jill Engeldau evokes the memory of Lahaina and of plantation days on Maui in two new books, The Story of Lahaina and Sugarcane Days, Remembering Maui's Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company. She's on the line with us now.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
All right. You've made a specialty out of Maui history, and you keep finding more things to write about, don't you?
I do. It's an interesting island with a very interesting history.
And it goes back. How far does your studies go?
Excuse me, how far do my studies go?
Yeah, how far back in history have you been able to, gather
information? Oh, I see. Well, I can't go back too far because I don't speak Hawaiian, and you really have to go to the chants to get the ancient history. But I have friends and there are other authors whose work I can consult, so I can get some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to pin down the earliest date of settlement in Lahaina, but I did quote, I believe, in the book, Christian Klieger from his studies at Moku'ula, and I think he said something like 700 A.D.
Wow. Well, and in Lahaina, you find it's sort of a, it reminds me of looking at the rings on a tree, how you see different eras of history reflected right in the town around you, whaling, the years as the capital of the kingdom. What were the whaling years?
Whaling started around the 1820s and then lasted until the mid-1860s. And the thing that is kind of misleading is that so much emphasis has been put on whaling in Lahaina that for a long time people overlooked the fact that it was the ancient capital and the seat of the Pi'ilani line and a very important place long before Westerners ever got here. So really, whaling was only maybe 45 years. But it made a big impact, obviously.
And it came to an abrupt end, didn't it?
Yeah, there were several incidents that happened. Some ships got stuck in the ice up around the North Pole somewhere. There was the Civil War. And then they just kind of had, I think, used up the whales. They moved out to the Pacific because they'd fished out the Atlantic area. So then they got here and they kind of put themselves out of business.
And then
the other big thing. Oil.
Well, but the other thing is that we suddenly didn't need whale oil anymore.
Right, because they discovered petroleum and they could run lamps and things on petroleum instead of having to have whale oil for that.
Well, during those whaling years, Jill, you had some pretty rowdy sailors descending on Lahaina after months at sea with the predictable results, yeah?
Right. It was sometimes a party and sometimes a battle.
I'm looking at, you quote a whaling song here. We're homeward bound from the Arctic ground with a good ship taut and free. We won't give a damn when we drink our rum with the girls of old Maui.
Right. Yeah, I had a friend who was a folk singer who introduced me to that song.
Uh-huh.
And we used to sing it at our little sing-along things. I won't burden you with my version of it.
Well, you could certainly get the idea from that, because weren't there some laws passed specifically to control rowdy whalers?
Yes, there were. Because Lahaina was at that point the kingdom's capital, a lot of the laws that ran the kingdom for a long time were promulgated at Lahaina, and they did have to put some in to stop just general rowdiness. They actually cut out the sale of alcohol for a while, and that caused a big problem. I think that was the time one of the ships shot at the missionary houses because they, of course, blamed the missionaries. And there were people who said that, it was almost unsafe to be on the streets in those days because those sailors would come ashore and just get drunk and have big fights and be mad at the missionaries, et cetera.
There's a great picture in your book of a 1962 Lahaina whaling spree parade with a wonderful Moby Dick float.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
It is. Well, and you have a lot of terrific pictures in this and in your Sugarcane Days book that must have taken a lot of collating to gather.
Well, that Sugarcane Days book came about because actually I went to the A&B Sugar Museum in Pune to pick up a picture of Kaanapali before it was developed. They happened to have one that was a perfect, not a match, but taken from the same viewpoint as one I had that showed Lahaina after, or Kaanapali after it was developed. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, Roz Lightfoot, who's the director of the museum, started showing me these pictures. They were given by HCNS and A&B all the archival pictures from the HCNS Breeze, which was a little in-house newspaper that ran from 1948 to 1968. And they have literally thousands of photographs, beautiful old black and white photographs that show every aspect of plantation life, except cane fires. That's the one thing that I couldn't find a picture of. There's just a couple of sort of incidental photos that I was able to use in the book, but cane fires became such a big deal on Maui in the last years of HCNS, and yet back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, apparently they didn't even bother to take pictures of them. So,
which is really, it must have been frustrating for you collecting this book, because it's one of the more spectacular visuals that you would get.
But yeah, I had great hopes for, like, some wonderful night photos and there's one photo in there that kind of looks like it might be a cane fire photo, but it's not. It's just a night harvest photo with apparently taken with a lot of really bright lights, so there's a lot of contrast and it's real dramatic.
Well, the photos in this Plantation Days book are very, Sugarcane Days book are very professionally done.
Yes, they were. One of the main photographers there was Larry Ikeda, who ended up working on A&B publications after HCNS closed. He started out as a turnahauler driver, you know, those big trucks that they
yeah.
made with the chains. I mean, I don't know if people on other islands are familiar with them, but they were a very familiar sight on Maui until Sugar shut down. And he worked his way into the newspaper and then became, in those days, black and white photography was such an art, and not, only people who could afford cameras did it, but professional photography just produced beautiful photographs in those days, and they were very professional photographers on that little paper.
No, there's some really good, really high-quality shots. It really, really evokes the history really well.
Mm-hmm.
Jill, thanks very much for taking the time.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance.
Of course. Jill Engledow is the author of two new books, Sugarcane Days, Remembering How Maui's Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company, and The Story of Lahaina. Both are published by Maui Island Press.